News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Indeed. Good morning from Dan and Dalton at 8:07. Quinn Hillier up in minutes.
And this segment brought to you by the great folks at Tobias and Comer Law. It is a, if you're unaware, local, that's a key word here, local personal injury law firm that's helped get fair compensation for a bunch of people in our area, and they've been doing it for decades from their office down on Dauphin Street. And while we've had some really warm weather, I'm sure plenty of you have already been out on the boats this summer, summer on the way. Next month, we have National Safe Boating Week, and that's just a good chance to kind of get back to the basics and make sure that if you are out there and there's something that happens that you're completely prepared for, nearly anything. The obvious ones like wear a life jacket, make sure your life jacket's U.S. Coast Guard approved, know the state boating laws, take a boating safety course if you have to, make sure your boat is prepared, you know, those items that you have on that checklist every single season that you get ready and every time you go out, and always file a float plan. That's also one of the very important things you could do, and they have a great list of this over at tobiascomerlaw.com as we prepare for National Safe Boating Week next month. From car to boating accidents, defective products to workplace accidents and maritime injuries, Tobias and Comer Law truly has seen it all, and they have that great website, tobiascomerlaw.com. Call for a free consultation 24/7. That number is 251-432-5001.
With the advocate at NOLA.com and, of course, Quinn Hillier.com. Quinn Hillier joins us on this Tuesday morning. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, everybody.
So we don't have to spend too much time on the NFL draft. I know a pretty heavy portion of our listenership really doesn't care, and I understand. But the New Orleans Saints, I know you were, well, a lot of people had their eye on the Saints, not just fans of the Saints, wondering what they might do with the quarterback position and how else they plan to fill this roster up. And they went O-line again in round one, Quinn. Overall, you pretty satisfied with the Saints draft, or what were you thinking?
Yeah, first of all, I've been absolutely obsessed with this draft. And anybody that's not obsessed with it, what's wrong with you? I don't know. Now, the Saints, as usual, didn't do what I would have done. I'm a best player available guy, not a draft for position guy, and mm-hmm. they passed up a ton of potential superstars at defensive positions, especially at edge rusher, defensive end is what we used to call it. So they didn't do what I would have done. But that said, they made a series of very solid picks. I can say that because I really, really studied it this year. I watched a lot of the video that's available online beforehand, and several of the guys they picked were on my radar to begin with. Tyler Shuck, this quarterback that they picked at number two, he really reminds me of Jared Goff. And Jared Goff maybe hasn't been the superstar he was projected but he took the Rams to the Super Bowl. They lost, but he took them to the Super Bowl. He's had several very good years with the Detroit Lions now. And Shuck has not just tremendous arm strength, but incredible touch. And basically, other than breaking his collarbone a couple of times, which he can't be blamed for, and which is not the kind of injury that, like a knee, that, you know, you wonder if that's going to limit him in the future. Other than that, he's done very well in college, and he's only got one flaw. I won't go into all the details, but he's only got really one flaw that I think is fixable by new coach Kellen Moore. So I'm happy with him. I'm delighted with linebacker Danny Stutzman, and I'm thrilled with the running back, Devin Neal, and then that first pick, Kelvin Banks, the offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Very solid player.
Now, this would be incredibly unfair to you, Quinn, because you could do the exact same thing to me, but I just want you to know we recorded that, and we'll play that for you.
For the next 5 years. We'll see how they pan out.
I've actually got a pretty good record. I mean, I write this down every year, and I identified Alvin Kamara real early.
He was right under your nose at Tennessee, Dalton. Where were you?
He was right under Butch Jones' nose. Where was he?
Exactly. And you know, I desperately wanted the Saints to get linebacker Nick Bolton, who they passed over, and now he's a very big star with the powerful Chiefs. I missed twice. I thought Kellen Mond was going to be a good quarterback, and he hasn't done much. He's out of the league. But basically, I've got a pretty good record.
All right, that's cool. Now, while you were obsessed with the draft, ESPN was and has been obsessed with simply one player in the draft.
Shedeur
Sanders. Tumbles all the way to number five. Now the
fifth round, not just number four.
Fifth round. You're right. And so it's like, what happened? And so now a lot of these reports are coming out saying that he was really disrespectful in some interviews, and you don't want to give your money to a guy that looks like he could care less to be there, do you?
No, you don't. And he reportedly has an attitude problem, and you can see clips of him during games saying and doing sort of low-class stuff to opponents or to coaches or whatever. And then the guy took way more sacks than he had to. 54 sacks, even with the bad offensive line. That's not good. And he's not all that mobile. So he actually probably went about where he should have based on his traits and his production, maybe a little lower, but he should never have been thought of as a first round pick.
Yeah, they retired his number at Colorado. I don't know. It seemed like his talent, whatever they saw on tape, plus he went in
the show.
Certain interview, yeah, the show that comes with him.
Yeah,
but the interviews, evidently, there were teams where he didn't want to go, and therefore he acted even more bratty in those interview rooms, as the reports were getting. Well, guess what? They can pick up the phone and call their pal at another, maybe a team he wants to go into, and say, you're not going to believe what I just experienced with the Sanders kid. He was disrespectful. The word was going to get around. It looks like it did.
He's got a sense of entitlement, and that's not a good thing. And there's some other famous families in football that don't act like they are entitled. Mm-hmm. They're reasonably humble. They do a whole lot of charitable work, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't look good to act entitled.
Yeah,
especially when your tape doesn't back it up.
Right. He'll get his chance. He's drafted by the Cleveland Browns, who've got about five quarterbacks in camp now.
Yeah.
So if he's, he'll have a chance to move up. So we'll see.
We will see. So let's go from football to the football coach in politics. And while it's not 100% confirmed by Tuberville's camp, it is pretty much a sure thing that he'll be running for governor, not seeking re-election for Senate, running for governor of Alabama. And really, I mean, that sets us up with Tuberville and Ainsworth, and I received a poll over the weekend that was asking as much, who do you prefer? So that's one interesting race.
Poll. What did it say?
Okay, so the first question said, who do you like among these gubernatorial candidates? And it included Ainsworth and a few other players that are currently in state politics, but no Tuberville in that first selection of names. The second selection of names included Ainsworth and Tuberville, and then about four other names that could possibly get in. I don't remember who else was on there. And then it asked basically your opinions of Tuberville, your opinions of Ainsworth, how it relates to your opinion of Trump and who you voted for. And I thought maybe it was a tell who put the poll out, but the last question was, who is more suited for the role of governor, a U.S. senator or someone who has been lieutenant governor? And that's kind of where it left off with the poll.
So you didn't see results, you saw the poll.
Yeah, I was just asking questions. I didn't see the poll.
Ah,
right.
Interesting.
I imagine we'll see the answers here before too long.
Interesting. Well,
or unless it's internal, we wouldn't.
That is probably a poll by the Ainsworth people.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Questions that way. But look, two things to be said. One is what this does for the U.S. Senate race if Tuberville leaves the Senate, and that could be even more interesting. But we'll get to that in a minute. People are, I think, making a mistake if they assume that Tuberville's a shoe-in. The public votes very differently, especially in southern states. They vote very differently for governor than they do for the guy they're going to send to those distant realms of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, two completely different jobs.
Two completely different jobs and two completely different thought processes among voters. And I'm not so sure that they're going to see, okay, you know, they see Tuberville gets up there and he represents their views. I don't think anybody sees him as a brilliant administrator or anything like that. And I think there's a hunger for somebody who's going to be more hands-on and a better administrator after our, I'll just call her sleepy current governor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to want somebody who really can start making some things happen in Montgomery. And so I'm not saying Tuberville's going to lose, but he is not a shoo-in. People are going to say, wait a minute, maybe we want somebody who, A, actually knows state government, B, seems to have administrative abilities and not just
a
talker.
Name. Yeah.
And C, maybe a little younger after we've had this this decrepitude in the governor's mansion.
And we've seen, not even over the longest time here, quite a few upsets over shoo-ins, right?
Yeah.
It was, I guess, Bentley was kind of came out of nowhere. You also had a couple back-to-back ones with Doug Jones winning the actual Senate election, and Katie Britt. You know, no one really knew she was going to come from where she did.
Except me, by the way. I predicted her when she was at 9% in the polls. I've got it in writing. But, yes, you're absolutely right. Go back to Guy Hunt in, 1986 or 4 or whatever that year was, came out of nowhere. I mean, nobody knew who Guy Hunt was, and next thing you know, he was governor.
That's the one thing about Tommy, though, that everybody does know who he is, so he's got that going for him. I read a scathing piece on him, taken for what it's worth, Alabama political reporter Bill Britt.
I'm shocked.
I mean, it was kind of a sledgehammer piece on Tuberville. I don't know if you saw that, Quinn, but there's that side of the coin as well.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is Tuberville is well-known, but that doesn't mean he's going to win. Guy Hunt, Robert Bentley, even Bob Riley, was thought to be fairly much of a long shot against Don Siegelman at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama voters are going to think for themselves and put different criteria into effect when they choose a governor.
Listen, I'd be happy with Tuberville as governor. I'd be happy with Ainsworth as governor. I guess two issues, two of the worries that I have with Tuberville running. One is, what does happen to that Senate seat? Because right now it's about as reliable a vote as you can get if you're liking what you're seeing from the Trump administration. But two is, wouldn't you say, and maybe I'm wrong on this, that there's a bit of a learning curve for sure with the state government and just knowing the intricacies of how the state house is run and state senate. And, if you're a guy who's coming in to kind of break up the status quo, which I imagine would be kind of the reason people elect Tuberville here in this state, you kind of have to know how to attack the status quo. And I don't know if maybe he knows how to do that, but I don't know without being in the state politics as much whether he has that ability.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's the point I'm making, that the public is going to say who actually can do what we want done in people take their governor very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
They take it to heart, and I'm not sure that he's a shoo-in.
I'm not sure that he's Bill Britt's assertions are that he's not a very enthusiastic fundraiser either, and that would be needed for the governor's race as well. He'd have to do that fundraising, right, Quinn?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. We'll be back with Quinn here in just a moment.
And when we get back, if we could take a second and talk about what could be that open Senate seat, and if we have time, we'll get into some of the things going on around the deportations and the judges.
Yep.
A lot of stories on that, of course, right now.
Judges are being judged. Watch yourself. 821, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, and Mobile Mornings on the way. Dan and and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 826 on Mobile Mornings.
And reminder, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets. Won't reveal just who yet, but a show coming up at the Sanger this fall. And this hour and the rest of this week, your chance to win some tickets. We'll let you know further here in the next half hour.
Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, also writes for the newspapers in Louisiana.
The Advocate, NOLA.com.
Yeah, and we promised to get to something.
So with Tuberville, Quinn, potentially and likely running for governor, that will open up a Senate seat.
Oh, that's right.
And the usual, you would expect a Republican to win, but which Republican? And already several publications putting out a who to watch for list for the primary. And our own Jeff Poor with a list. Some of the names here, Congressman Barry Moore, former Congressman Jerry Carl, they know each other pretty well. Attorney General Steve Marshall, maybe Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. Maybe he hops over if this doesn't look good for him at the governor's race. Gary Palmer, Dale Strong, just a few names that we know and who might be interesting if they hop into that race.
Yeah, Jeff's list was pretty good, and in fact, it was very good. And this could be a real free-for-all. This could be, you know, use whatever words you want, a Donnybrook, whatever. There are a lot of people who are going to make very serious inquiries into running, and there is no clear favorite.
Do you think,
absolutely not.
Do you think the ones that have already been in D.C. and the House representing districts of Alabama, would they somehow have a leg up as people are assessing what to do with that Senate seat?
I think they would, and one to really watch, just because he comes from such a populous area, is Gary Palmer, who I've known for 30 years, and he's the congressman from the Birmingham area, and he's got a statewide network, having been head of the Alabama Policy Institute, so he's one guy to watch.
Yeah, he's made his marks up there for sure. I mean, he's known for his policies, national policies already. So that, like I was saying, maybe that gives him a little advantage.
Yeah, it does. Now, again, the only question is, are Alabama voters ready for somebody younger? Because he's getting up to, he's what, about 70 or something like that. A lot of these people that are being talked about are, shall we say, veterans.
Mm-hmm.
not Army veterans, but political veterans. And, the only thing is, do they want a new face? And sometimes, unlike for other races, the new face can come in and sort of make people say, maybe we want something different.
Shake it up.
Yeah, and there would be, candidates who want this job, and then there would be candidates who want this job. And Attorney General Steve Marshall, he seems like someone who would go hard in for a rebound, right? I imagine if he is in this race that there's probably going to be some elbows flying.
Oh, I fully expect Steve Marshall to run, and to run a very sharp-edged campaign.
Quinn, let everybody know. I'm sorry, didn't want to interrupt you, but we're out of time now. If you would just let everybody know where they can find your stuff.
Yes, indeed. Google QuinnHillier.com or Google me at the Times Picayune in New Orleans.
Sounds good, Quinn. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.
You got it.
All right. That's Quinn Hillier. Now we turn it over to you on the Mallory Piping text line, 251-343-0106. I tell you, hop on the text line, same number for the phone lines. And if you want to leave us a talk back on the FM Talk 106.5 app, once you download it and open it, it's right there. The microphone at the bottom of the screen. More Mobile Mornings continues after the news. FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings, and we'll get to the text line here in a moment, 251-343-0106. This segment brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. It's one of the best places to make entries during, any of the sports that are ongoing, but especially during the basketball playoffs with their extender promo. With the extender, you can play your way to increasingly bigger boosts each round of the playoffs. You start a playoff series by using your game one boost and then continue boosting each subsequent game to unlock the next one. And the longer the series, the bigger the boosts. Now, don't get me wrong, I've had plenty of fun playing underdog throughout the basketball playoffs, but they also have all of the leagues on there, including the NHL, which are also going through the playoffs right now. But over the weekend, I was playing some golf on Underdog and also some of the UFC. Underdog is a leading place to make all of your sports selections, and you can play in Alabama. It's easy to download the app and make sure you use the promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, once you do. But to set up your entry, you just need at least two players. They could be from different teams. They can be from different leagues. And you just need at least two players to make an entry. You choose higher or lower on one of their stats. For instance, in basketball, you'd be looking at stats like points and assists and rebounds. But the more players you add to your entry, the more money you could win. And you could play with as little as $1 and win up to 1,000 times your money. So download the Underdog app, sign up with promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. It's promo code Dalton. You do have to be 19 plus in Alabama and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
So what do you think about the bill for the to rename the Gulf of Mexico,
mm-hmm.
the Gulf of America.
Yeah, I love it.
I don't think I like it at all. But and I'm not sure why. But so David Standridge, he's the sponsor of the bill, and he's from Hayden, which is in Blount County, which is not on the Gulf of Mexico, obviously.
And this is a state bill to mirror the Trump executive order.
Yeah.
And Florida, their state legislature passed their version of this very early on in the legislative session.
Right. It just happened. You're right.
They've been already changing the names on signs, like that hotel in Pensacola that made the news here recently.
I guess they were anxious to do that. I don't know why you would be so anxious to do that when the Gulf of Mexico, it's got a long, long history of us calling it that,
mm-hmm.
and it just seemed like that was fine. It felt more like a quick salesman's job from Trump. Like I said, Hayden, or the city of Hayden, where Standridge is from, it's nowhere near the Gulf of Mexico, yet he jumped up and wanted to take the baton on this. I kind of feel a little bit like maybe it should have been somebody that's down here.
Mm.
Like, mind your own business.
Oh, you're saying that kind of like the
like it's
the shark bill, where you're like
a lot right, like the shark
dude bill. From Birmingham telling us about our sharks.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
those are our sharks,
and that's our Gulf. I know
our Gulf. So you should be
our
happy
Gulf.
With
I should say, yeah, it's like I don't know.
Should be happy with it being called the Gulf of America then, if it's our Gulf.
I don't know. I don't know that I am. I don't know. It just kind of hit me. At first, I didn't care. It was just kind of like, oh, okay. And then it was kind of like, wait a minute now. The people that all have got the history of the Gulf of Mexico and have mm-hmm. called it the Gulf of Mexico are all here. I understand people come down to the beach, but that's our body of water. I'm being possessive about it. Maybe mm-hmm. maybe I shouldn't be, but it just feels like you don't get to tell us what to call it.
Yeah.
Well, now Trump does.
We won't turn this into an entire argument about the Gulf of America, which we're clearly on opposite sides here. But you said it was a quick sales job. I agree, but people like buying the things. Some people like being bought what they're being sold, right? And I think the Gulf of America was a pretty easy sell for a lot of people because they're like, heck yeah, let's be a little bit more patriotic. We've been kind of sleepwalking through this whole running a country thing. Let's add some patriotism to the bill. Let's do that. And so I like it. And yeah. I like it also because, you know, there was no one. Of course, it was just the Gulf of Mexico, right? So you didn't really have many supporters or detractors. That's just what it's been called.
It wasn't an issue.
But it wasn't an issue, and this has upset so many people. And so many people, like you said, that aren't even near the Gulf, that they hate it, and many people just hate it because it's something Trump's doing, and they're cloaking it, and you can't take away its history. This is part of the history. If something happens to it, it doesn't change it. So it's kind of like my favorite NFL team, the Tennessee Titans. They used to be the Houston Oilers. Yeah. Doesn't mean the history's gone away.
Just means it's completely ignored.
Brazil is in the Hall of Fame with the Tennessee Titans now, not just the Houston Oilers. So I love it. And I don't know what I love more about it, how many people it is upsetting or the fact that it just adds a little bit more patriotism.
So on the text line, you love it, you hate it, or what do you think about it? And I don't know why I don't hate it necessarily. It just hasn't ever really made its way. My opinion hasn't really changed since it was first announced. I thought it was kind of like a quick little sales move, like we're going to change the name of this building. But it's the Gulf of Mexico. It's not something. It's substantial.
Yeah,
and it's substantial in the lives of all the people around here. I'm not a native, so maybe I should be quiet like the guy up in Blount County. But he's a lawmaker, so he doesn't have to be quiet.
I mean, be honest. The truth here is Dan just bought a massive Gulf of Mexico sign 4 months ago, and now that thing is basically worthless because you're having to change the name on it.
I can't sell it. So the plan was
to turn it around.
Sell it to Floribama for $5 million.
And now that plan right out the window.
And they started selling Gulf of America shirts like the next day.
And that's part of it too. I already have some Gulf of America merch that's both been given to me and that I've gone out and purchased. So I'm kind of already down that. No, I can't turn back now. I'm all full on.
You're in.
Pro
You're
Gulf
in.
Of America. Firecracker texting in on the Mallory Piping text line. At least they're not trying to call the Gulf the ocean. That's definitely a plus. James says, Dan, you're spot on. It's just like North Alabama wanting oil spill money. Yeah, we've
been down that road.
We have, I was going to say crowed about it, but that makes it sound like we're in the wrong. We have certainly put up a reasonable
argument.
complaint in that department. He says, or a Birmingham Republican trying to pass a shark bill. It's absolutely just mind your area. Yeah, and that kind of brings to mind the shark bill and the politician who brought it, who's from the Birmingham area, and he was on with Jeff Poor talking about his bill. It's so much like other things that get passed, ranging, pretty much anything that they could pass into law in the legislature, because they start with a story where you're either supposed to feel really bad about something or really sad or really good about something.
Or mad about something.
Yeah, and in this case, I mean, it was tragic what happened to Lulu, and who was, he had that shark attack just down the beach a little bit, and then they didn't know about it further down where she and her friend were, and then she ends up losing limbs, and it was bad. And so it makes sense when her family goes back to town that they're like, hey, this happened to our daughter. What can you do to make sure this won't happen again? And then he has the feel-good story of, okay, we're doing something for this person, but down here at the Gulf of
America.
Where livelihoods depend on people getting in the water. And also they depend less so, but on people staying out of the water when they shouldn't.
Yep.
But if you have people freaking out that aren't from here about the possibility of sharks in the water, when that's been a possibility all along because it's the Gulf, then you have a guy from Birmingham playing with our money, and he's doing it out of, a good moral place, but it doesn't make it right for everyone. So when you see, and the go-to is always with the lottery, and it's for the kids. How can you vote against this? It's for the education department funding. Why would you do that? Well, they put, and I'm saying something that's obvious, but they put that onus on you. Okay, well,
you're not for the kids.
You must hate the kids.
Yeah, you don't want kids to know what 3 + 3 is.
So, I agree with you on
the Gulf of America.
No, I still think it should be called the Gulf of America. Texter here. Question: how and when was the Gulf named the Gulf of Mexico? Did Mexico just claim it because they are also border it? Or is it from before USA was established as a country? It was actually, and I don't know when they started calling the Gulf of Mexico, but that's from before Mexico was Mexico.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah,
it wasn't a country.
It was.
I guess it was a region. I'm probably butchering that a little bit, but obviously the history of Mexico is very, very long.
And the region, as I understand it, was much richer at that time. Mexico was a place, or that area was a region where you could brag about. This area was swamps and mosquitoes, and there was really nothing established here. I believe that's the case, and that's how it became what it became. But the history that so many families, individuals, families, layers of families, years, decades of family names on those houses and on the Eastern Shore, and just spending their time over there on the Gulf of Mexico. Maybe they would say the Gulf. Maybe that's all they needed to call it anyway. But there's just been such a long history of people that have enjoyed, fished on, ran from storms on, been affected by weather on the Gulf of Mexico here in this community. And I think it wasn't given any thought. It was just quickly done, and now here we are, and you're more than happy with it.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, are there some people out there locally that are not?
Oh, I'm sure there are. But I love thinking of just some, you know, overweight person in the Midwest just raging about this name change when, like, their closest touch to anything Mexico is like a margarita for $5 on a Wednesday at the strip mall. And they're very upset about this.
Yeah, they've never seen it, right.
So this texture says, I'm with Dan. I voted Trump. I'm as patriotic as anyone. I've been going to the Gulf of Mexico my entire life. So someone who says, you know, keep the name. Texture here, wasn't it about Biden's orders not to drill in the Gulf of Mexico? I thought that was the point of changing the name. I don't know if they ever talked about that publicly or not. I was kind of thinking that as well, that maybe a reason for the name change was because of all the regulations on drilling in the Gulf of Mexico, and you make your own little loophole.
That might have had something to do with it. Yeah, I'd have to remember what Trump said on that day, but maybe that was part of it.
I don't think they said that explicitly, that was part of the plan. Sean, our local, our very own FM Talk historian, says named for the Mexica tribe, the Gulf of Mexico, also known as the Aztecs.
Ah.
Jeff from...
So, and also that Mexican restaurant, Aztecas, just so you know.
They named the Gulf after Aztecas.
You're not going to get that fastball by me.
No. Sorry, got one from me there. Jeff Fairhope said Biden prescribed oil exploration in the Gulf of Mexico. Trump changed the name so his drill baby drill won't be delayed with legal proceedings. Seems to be a consensus coming together here on the Gulf of America. Texture here, half the tourists that come down here call it the ocean anyway. Yeah, and they get in at the most inopportune rip current moments as well. But you're right.
Look at Jerry from Fort Morgan taking a shot at me. Unless you happen to be some sort of blue-haired cat person, it's the Gulf of America. Well, it is. I mean, I can't argue with that point. It is the Gulf of America, and looks like everybody's getting in line.
Jace letting us know, changing a name has zero effect on whether you can drill in it, and also says, not to mention the name change only applies to the first 20 miles from the shoreline anyway.
That's not what the maps are saying. The maps are slapping Gulf of America all over it. I mean, the whole body of water.
Are you talking about the online maps?
It seems to be, you know, they're printing maps now with Gulf of America.
And Google has been both sidesing the maps for a long time. You know, you open it in China and it shows Taiwan as being Chinese, right? Open it on the India-Pakistan border, it shows different borders than depending on which country you open it in. So they both sides this one pretty quickly earlier as well. But I think if you look at it from Mexico, it probably still says the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay.
Maybe someone on a cruise down there can let us know if they're in Mexico now.
I don't think that everything's going to be changed. It was January when he did it, right? I mean, it's not instantaneous that you're going to just, you know, I know that you're very joyful about the whole thing.
We have a U.S. map hanging up, and I sharpied right over that Gulf of Mexico so fast.
I believe you. It's 8:49 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings, and Dan and Dalton, glad to have you along. Also, a little Shadur Sanders talk and the outrage that maybe should have never been. That's on the way.
FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. We're going to be giving away tickets all week for a show that's coming up at the Sanger Theater in September 18th to be exact. And Kevin Cronin, along with most of REO Speedwagon, Okay. Bringing you the Kevin Cronin Band, the voice and songs of REO Speedwagon. And REO had some hits, of course, like Keep On Loving You and Can't Fight This Feeling. I know some of you just sang it along in your head. And what a great show. It's coming up at the Sanger, September 18th. And right now, your chance to win a pair of tickets before you can buy them. Caller number 5 at 251-343-0106. The voice and songs of REO Speedwagon with the Kevin Cronin Band coming up at the Sanger Theater in September. Caller number 5, you will win those tickets. And stay tuned for the rest of the week for more tickets to be won.
All right, but Shador Sanders, we'll deal with him another time if we get to him. Everybody's going crazy on the text line with the Gulf of America, Gulf of Mexico thing, which was one of our three big things. Now it's going to be a bill. It's already a law passed in
Florida. Right. Yeah, and they're already changing some signs. This all comes with the news from Lagniappe yesterday that the maritime, how many name changes, by the way, since they opened that thing up? But the museum, formerly known as Gulf Quest, now known as the Maritime Museum, formerly known as the Maritime Museum of the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
Now known as the National Maritime Museum of the Gulf.
I think they're just waiting for
hedging. They're hedging.
By the way, David says Mexico is on the continent of North America. Then you have Central America and South America. So what is the issue? We live on the continent of the Americas.
Mm.
Well, okay. So
however you look at it, I agree with David.
Yeah, I do not. And and all I'm saying is, do we have to name all our waterways after America too?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, just that.
All five Great Lakes. That's Lake America, and there's over there's Lake America.
You probably have to give one or two to Canada.
Lake America. Now you know the Great Lakes. Hey, and of course Washington. Across the America,
mm-hmm.
Maybe it was the Delaware, but according to David, it should be he crossed the America to get to Pennsylvania.
I'm not tracking on the name one, name them all, but I mean it's still. I don't think there's only one Gulf of America. It's not that confusing.
It's Valley Forge in Pennsylvania.
I think so.
Well, it should be in America. That should overrule it all.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And Gulf Coast. See, you're stacking up the. The backing here. Gulf Coast Girl says, I'm with Dan. Now, BJ says, if you want the name to be patriotic, it would be named the Gulf of the United States. It says Gulf of America, just like David said there, seems to encompass North, Central, and South America. I just call it the Gulf, so I don't care. Yeah, and then you'd have the acronym, if it's Gulf of the United States, it'd be GUS. So going down to the GUS this weekend. I think that kind of has a ring to it.
No, it does not.
So
the GUS.
But, yeah, I mean, Dan, you can't tell me you haven't seen some sweet Gulf of America merch and said, you know.
Well, that's just, you know.
I love the merch.
I love my folks at the Floribama. It's profiteering. They're just jumping on it real quick and saying, yeah, we're all in with Trump. Let's do it.
Texter here. This is Jibber in Orange Beach. Can I set my own fishing regulations for the Gulf of America since they have not been published yet? That is exactly right, Jibber. No catch limits. Really no regulations. And I think even if they board your boat, you don't even have to show them ID because it's the Gulf of America now.
Yeah, copper. You're free to go.
8:57, the Jeff Poor Show is on the way. And I don't know if he's planning on returning to the death dungeon that is the State House tomorrow.
Mm.
But today, while he still has some relatively clear pipes away from the mold, he'll have, Moms for Liberties. Rebecca Watson on in hour number one. Todd Stacy with Alabama Daily News joins at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. Scott Buttram, I think it's been a minute since we've heard from Scott, from the Trustful Tribune in hour two. And John Wall, GOP chairman, who maybe they'll talk some library stuff, but also the Alabama GOP trying to get this tax cut bill through this week, potentially. I'm sure that'll be part of the discussion.
Yeah, the State House, the birthplace of AFib. It's really a wonderful spot right there. They're building a new one. And it's going to be the Aflac Chuck E. Cheese, whatever.
RFK said no one needs to get vaccinated unless you plan on visiting the Alabama State House.
It is 8:59, just about now anyway. A minute away from 9 o'clock. Jeff on the way. Dan and Dalton, see you tomorrow. Beginning at 6 a.m.